उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति न इष्टकी। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। सो थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर गिविंग मी द अपॉर्चुनिटी टू टॉक अबाउट रिपीट व्हाट श्रील प्रभुपाद हैज रिटन इन हिज ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट्स टू द श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 12 वर्सेस 1 थ्रू 11। सो वी हैव हियर So here we have all the sages. Baiti akar. So, as we see here, we have all the sages assembled at the axle of the universe in the forest of Naimisharanya, eagerly awaiting the deliverance of the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. Here is a different picture. So the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken at the beginning of Kali Yuga. So here we have Maharaj Parikshit, who is seen in the womb and who was basically facing the deadly heat of the Brahmastra, and he prays and then he sees the four-handed Narayana form protecting him. And then he spends the rest of his life seeking that four-handed Narayana again and again. It's a different artist's rendition. This comes from the Jaipur style, as I understand. And here's the actual picture of Sukasthala near Haridwar, where the sages met. Don't know if it is historically accurate or not, but this is what is supposed to be the place where this knowledge was given 5,000 years ago. People go there to Sukasthala even now. You can see that person in a backpack, and then lot of other tourists who are coming and visiting Sukasthala near Haridwar.
So is it the Naimisharanya or is it the one
where Parikshit Maharaj, Suta Goswami, Sukhdev Goswami giving it to Parikshit Maharaj?
Yes.
Sukasthala. Sukhdev Goswami, not the other one. So let's start with the first verse. Let's all recite.
Shaunaka uvacha ashvatthamano prasrastena brahma srishrunu sejasa uttaraya hato garbho ishana jivita punam.
The sage Shaunaka said, the womb of Uttara, the mother of Maharaj Parikshit, was spoiled by the dreadful and invincible Brahmastra weapon released by Ashwatthama, but Maharaj Parikshit was saved by the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada says in this purport, so this narration is going back and forth. So the sages of Naimisharanya basically inquired from Suta Goswami about birth of Maharaj Parikshit, and then during the course of narration other topics were also discussed, like how the Brahmastra was released by son of Drona, how Arjuna punished him, Queen Kunti's prayers, the Pandavas' visit to the palace where the place where Bhishma Dev was lying, and so on. But then, while they were absorbed in hearing such transcendental descriptions, now they wanted to turn back to the original topic. So what is the original topic? The original topic was the release of the Brahmastra weapon. So sometimes we start a discussion and then we go elaborate on various points, but then people again quickly come back to attention and say, but tell us what is happening about this Brahmastra weapon. So that's exactly the conversation that's happening right now. So they're inquiring Shaunaka Rishi again.
Tasya janma mahabuddhe karma nicha mahatmanaha nidanam cha yata evasit sapretyagatavan yata.
How was the great emperor Parikshit, who was a highly intelligent great devotee, born in that womb? How did his death take place and what did he achieve after his death? So these are natural questions. So he is saying, who is Emperor Parikshit? He is very intelligent and he is a great devotee of the Lord. And how was he born in that particular womb? And how did his death take place? And what did he achieve after his death? So it's almost like the complete history of this particular individual. So Srila Prabhupada, I have only just taken Srila Prabhupada's quotes. I have not researched a whole lot. The king of Hastinapura used to be the emperor of the world, at least till the time of the son of Emperor Parikshit. So Parikshit was saved by the Lord in the womb of his mother. So he could certainly be saved from an untimely death due to the ill will of son of Brahmana. So the point Prabhupada makes us here is, the Lord already protected him once. So it's not like he cannot be protected. But this is the will of the Lord that, you know, he was cursed by the son of a Brahmana. The age of Kali began to act just after assumption of power of Maharaj Parikshit. So it is just the coincidence by design. And the first sign of misgivings. So what is the misgivings? The age of Kali is characterized by so many misgivings. And it is very clearly given in the 12th canto, the various dangers of Kali Yuga and so on. So these misgivings were exhibited. The first sign was exhibited by cursing of a great and intelligent devoted king as Maharaj Parikshit. Normally king is supposed to be the protector of the helpless. So king is supposed to be as good as God. And the same argument is used by, who uses the same argument?
King.
Vena. So Vena says, king is to be worshipped as God. Therefore you should all follow me. And the Brahmin said, nothing doing, and then they curse him. And then he is finished. So king is the protector of the helpless. So for a Brahmana to curse a king is unthinkable of. By the instigation of the fallen age of Kali. So Prabhupada says, why did this happen? By instigation of the fallen age of Kali, an unfortunate Brahmana's son was employed. So it's not like, you know, he acted out of his will, but he was employed by the instrument of Kali, which is of course an energy of the Lord himself, to do this activity. To condemn the innocent Maharaj Parikshit. So again, the point here is innocent Maharaj Parikshit. So Maharaj Parikshit didn't do anything so severe as to receive such a big condemnation. So Maharaj Parikshit is famous as one who is protected by Vishnu, because he was already protected once by Vishnu in the womb. And when he was unduly cursed by a Brahmana's son, he could have invoked the mercy of the Lord to save him. So right, he prayed to the Lord once he was in the womb. The Lord protected him. He could have again said, oh my Lord, protect me. This fellow is troubling me. But he didn't do that. Why? Prabhupada says, because he was a pure devotee. So pure devotee doesn't always go to God and keep on asking for special favors. A pure devotee never asks the Lord for any undue favor. If it is necessary and if it is appropriate, they go to the Lord. So Maharaj Parikshit knew that the curse of Brahmana's son was unjustified. Because, you know, just for putting some dead snake around somebody to have such a big curse, and also being on the king who is the protector of the land. What happens if the king goes away? None of these Brahmanas will receive protection. It was unjustified, as everyone else knew. So Prabhupada says everybody else also knew that this was unjustified. The king knew it, others knew it, but he did not want to counteract it. This is the quality of a pure devotee. He also knew that the age of Kali has begun, and the first symptom of the age, namely degradation of highly talented Brahmana community, also began. So first, you know, for degradation to begin, the root has to be degraded. Because anyhow, Shudras are looking for guidance from the other higher Varnas. The Shudras and Vaishyas are looking for higher Varna. Shudras, Vaishyas and Kshatriyas are looking to Brahmanas for guidance. But when the topmost point is broken, everything else starts crashing. He did not want to interfere with the current of time, but he prepared himself to meet death very cheerfully and very properly. How many of us will do that? Very cheerfully and very properly. And being fortunate, he at least got 7 days. For us, we don't know. There could be an earthquake, this whole thing could come crashing right now. In the next 1 second.
In Florida recently.
Three devotees passed away.
He came here.
So we don't have that luxury of 1 week. And so he properly utilized the time in association of Sukhdev Goswami. So properly utilizing time means being in the association of spiritual leaders.
Tad idam shrotum ichchamo gaditum yadi manyase bruhina shraddha dananam yasya jnanam adakshukha.
We all respectfully want to hear about him, Maharaj Parikshit, to whom Sukhdev Goswami imparted transcendental knowledge. Please speak on this matter. So how beautiful this question is. We all respectfully want to hear about him. to whom Sukhdev Goswami imparted transcendental knowledge. Please speak on this matter. So we should also learn how to ask questions. Sukhdev Goswami imparted transcendental knowledge to Maharaj Parikshit during the remaining 7 days of his life, and Maharaj Parikshit heard him properly, just like an ardent student. So a student should be ardent. The effect of such bona fide hearing and chanting of Srimad Bhagavatam was equally shared by both the hearer and the chanter. So Srimad Bhagavatam, whether you recite, whether you hear, same benefit. Out of 9 different transcendental means of devotional service, either all of them or some of them or even one of them are equally beneficial if properly discharged. So 9 are Ramanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pasevanam, Vachanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Satyam, Atmanivedanam. Maharaj Parikshit and Sukhdev Goswami were serious performers of the first 2 important items, because that's all they did, 7 days. The process of chanting and the process of hearing, and therefore both of them were successful in their laudable attempt. It's not that they were not already successful, but they had to demonstrate to the world that the process of chanting and hearing, how it is to be done. Transcendental realization is attained by such serious hearing and chanting and not otherwise. Prabhupada's statement is like a thunderbolt. By serious hearing and chanting and not otherwise. There is a type of spiritual master and disciple much advertised in the age of Kali. Now he goes to the negative aspect of what's happening in the Kali Yuga. And you see this lot of times happening. Master injects some spiritual force by touching the student. Disciple shudders and says, oh, now I've received all the knowledge. The master weeps because he lost all this energy or spiritual asset. All bogus, nonsense going on. And the poor common man, because it happens in front of the public, they think that it's such a great thing that they get attracted to these kind of things. Prabhupada says, we do not find such folk tales in dealings of Sukhdev Goswami. Such folk tales. So these are all stories. And his great disciple Maharaj Parikshit. The sage recited Srimad Bhagavatam in devotion. So Sukhdev Goswami is reciting it in devotion. And the great king heard him properly. So the word properly, we remember in the first and second chapters, we said what is the proper way to deliver and proper way to listen. The king did not feel any shock of electrical current from the master, nor did it become unconscious while receiving knowledge. So Harulas Prabhu keeps telling about this several times, you know, how people shudder and all of a sudden say, oh, now I have received all the knowledge from Gurudev. So Prabhupada is very strong. One should not therefore become a victim of these unauthorized advertisements made by some bogus representative of Vedic knowledge. We also had some, you know, one kind of such temple in Bellevue, which went through a lot of problems. Still it is there, unfortunately. And still it is giving electrical current to other people. The sages of Naimisharanya were very respectful. So Prabhupada says again and again, very respectful, the way to pose these questions. In hearing about Maharaj Parikshit, because of his receiving knowledge from Sukhdev Goswami, by means of ardent hearing, Prabhupada uses the word ardent several times. Ardent hearing from the bona fide master is the only way to receive transcendental knowledge. And there is no need for medical performances or occult mysticism for miraculous effects. So you don't need to do any kind of extraneous things based on yoga practices or some mysticism from the Tamasic Puranas or anything like that. The process is simple. But only the sincere party can achieve the desired result. So sincerity is the only qualification. And that has been said so many times, right? Hundreds of times Prabhupada uses that in his books. Suta uvacha api pala dharma raja pitra vadrajyam praja nirshpriha sarva khamebhya krishna padanu sevaya. Sri Suta Goswami said, Emperor Yudhishthir administered generously to everyone during his reign. He was exactly like his father. He had no personal ambition and was freed from all sorts of sense gratification because of his continuous service unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. So this is something, you know, is a sort of a lesson for me. He was freed from all sorts of sense gratification because of his continuous service. So we keep asking the same question again and again. Maharaj, how do we do this? Gurudev, how do we do this? The answer is right there. Because of his continuous service unto the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Because our sense gratification tendency is always there. And because we are doing non-continuous service, we get dragged into that. As mentioned in our introduction, Prabhupada says, sorry, I did not put the verses, but it could be fourth. So Srila Prabhupada says, he repeats what he already said in his introduction. There is a need for science of Krishna and human society for all the suffering humanity of the world. And we simply request the leading personalities of all nations to take the science of Krishna for their own good, for the good of society and for the good of people, of all the people of the world. So, suffering humanity, that's a key word. And he's saying, we simply request the leading personalities of all nations. So, Srila Prabhupada met several people. He met Indira Gandhi. He met some leaders of various countries. When he went to Africa, I believe he met with some people. I don't know whether he met the US president or not at that point. Does anybody know? Okay. So he met with Indira Gandhi and he had some detailed discussion. So it is confirmed herein by the example of Maharaj Yudhishthira, the personality of goodness. So it's a very key point. In India, the people hanker after Ram Raj because the personality of Godhead was the ideal king and all other kings or emperors in India controlled the destiny of the world for the prosperity of every living being who took birth on the earth. So, in the verse, there's a reference to Praja. Pitravad Ranjayan Praja. So, Srila Prabhupada says what the Praja means. So, that which is born. So, Praja means every living entity, 8.4 million species. And Lord Brahma is the Prajapati. Means, he is taking care of all of this. He is the progenitor of all of the living entities, not just in the limited sense, right? Typically, people say Praja means people who can vote. That's the degenerated term that's used right now. But Praja means every living entity. But once you start using Praja as every living entity, which means compassion towards every living entity becomes important. Therefore, the king represents all living beings, the aquatics, the people who are in water, plants, people we see outside the window, reptiles, birds, animals, and man. So, man is not so significant. So, and man. Every one of them is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And the king, being the representative of the Supreme Lord, is duty bound to give proper protection to every one of them. So, why is this being talked right now? The reference is to Maharaj Yudhishthira. So, he is saying the king is responsible to give protection to every one of them. And the reference is also to Maharaj Parikshit. So, Parikshit should give protection to every one of them. And such a person who should give protection to every one of them is now being cursed, has been cursed basically. This is not the case with presidents and dictators of this demoralized system. So, Prabhupada gives the positive and the negative, interleaved continuously. Where lower animals are given no protection, but higher animals are given so-called protection. So, all the great animal killing that's going on worldwide right now. In UP, they started a new slaughterhouse. In Bombay, there is Al Kabir slaughterhouse. They opened a branch in Hyderabad now. So, Khalistan is now India. It used to be America, now it is India also. And then what I highlighted there, by knowing the science of Krishna, one can become the most perfect man in the world. And unless one has knowledge in this science, all qualifications and doctorate diplomas acquired by academic education are spoiled and useless. So, all the modern education we have achieved, Prabhupada says, is useless. Maharaj Yudhishthira knew the science of Krishna very well. And for it is stated here that by continuous cultivation of this science or by continuous devotional service to Lord Sri Krishna, he acquired the qualification of administering the state. So, if somebody wants to be the head of state, what should they do? Continuous cultivation of this science and continuous devotional service to Krishna, which is lacking, therefore these problems will continue. He continues, the father is sometimes seemingly cruel to the son, but this does not mean that the father has lost qualification to be a father. So, therefore, a king like Maharaj Yudhishthir, who was the personality of goodness, wanted everyone under his administration, especially human beings who have better developed consciousness, to become devotees of Lord Krishna. So, this is the key thing. What is the goal? The king should ensure that everybody in this kingdom should become a devotee of Lord Krishna, so that everyone can become free from trifles of material existence. All philosophies are all various, variegated speculations in matter. But one has to rise above all these philosophies and come to a point of becoming devotee of Lord Krishna to become free. He gives the reason also, the free from trifles of material existence. And Maharaj Yudhishthira also conducted the administration on that principle, and not on the rakshasi demoniac principles of sense gratification. Very solid thunderbolt. Going on, Yudhishthira, as an ideal king, he had no personal ambition, and there was no place for sense gratification, because all his senses were engaged in the loving service of the Supreme Lord. So, if the king engages all the senses in the service of the Supreme Lord, the whole kingdom is happy. But if king thinks about sense gratification, like people do right now, then there is no hope for the general population. Those who are busy rendering service to the parts and parcels, leaving aside the whole is Krishna, only spoil time and energy, like I do 8 hours a day at work. As one does when watering the leaves of tree without watering the root. So, same philosophy. So, which is the verse in Bhagavad Gita? Vedaji? Veda Narayana Prabhu. We are watering the root.
Watering the root? Bhagavad Gita?
It talks about, Urdhamula Madha Shakam. In that purport, Prabhupada talks about the root, right? The world is like an inverted. Anyway. If the water is poured onto the root, the leaves are enlivened perfectly and automatically. But if water is poured on the leaves, energy is spoiled. We have heard this thousands of times. Maharaj Yudhishthir was therefore constantly engaged in service of the Lord, and thus parts and parcels of the Lord. So, Maharaj Yudhishthir is engaged in service of the Lord, and therefore automatically is serving the parts and parcels of the Lord. And so, that's the instruction to us, is do the same. And finally, Srila Prabhupada in the last line concludes, that is the way of perfect management of state administration. So, Radhakrishna Prabhu is saying, that's why people are afraid of reading Prabhupada's books, or they think it is extremist literature, because it basically turns everything upside down. Sampada kritavo loka mahishi bhartaro mahi jambudvipadipatyam cha yasascha tridivam gatam. So, the news about Maharaj Yudhishthira's glory even reached the celestial planets. The sacrifices by which he would attain a better destination, his queen, his stalwart brothers, his extensive land, his sovereignty over the planet Earth, his fame, etc. So, news about all of these have reached the celestial planets. And Prabhupada has a very interesting perspective in the purport. Maharaj Yudhishthira reached the higher planets because of his good administration, worldly possessions, glorious wife Draupadi, the strength of his brothers Bhima and Arjun, and his solid sovereign power over the world known as Jambudvipa. Here the word loka is significant. There are different lokas or higher planets scattered all over the sky. A person, now Bhagavad, he is quoting Bhagavad Gita, a person can reach them by dint of his work in his present life, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 9.25. And he says, no forceful entrance is allowed there. So, what is Prabhupada referring to here? People's attempts to go to moon. The tiny material scientists and engineers, you are all proud, right? We have Bachelor of Engineering. So, the tiny material scientists and engineers who have discovered vehicles to travel over a few thousand miles in outer space. By the way, there are a lot of evidence that United States never went to the moon, because the maximum they went was like 3000 miles. Moon is much further away, and the space station is only 300 miles away. The so-called space station is only 300 miles away from the Earth's atmosphere. So, it's not very far. This is not the way to reach the better planets. One must qualify himself to enter into such happy planets by sacrifice and service. So anybody has ideas why they call happy planets? Prabhupada says happy planets.
Because it's all peaceful there.
I don't know, I'm asking. More pleasure, basically. More pleasure, less pain. But still, janma mrityu jara vyadi. Those who are sinful in every step of life can expect only to be degraded into animal life to suffer more and more. So sin equals to future animals. And this is stated in Bhagavad Gita 16:19. Once His Holiness Hanumat Prasak Maharaj was saying, Prabhupada weaves Bhagavad Gita through Srimad Bhagavatam. To learn Bhagavad Gita, you have to go through Srimad Bhagavatam. How he weaves it. Maharaj Yudhishthira, good sacrifices and qualifications were so lofty and virtuous that even the residents of higher celestial planets were already prepared to receive him as one of them. So he's saying, don't try extraneous activity, because the previous things, right? Worldly possessions, glorious wives, strength of his brothers, those things are already achievable because of his lofty and virtuous character.
Kim te kama suras praha mukunda manaso dvija adi janur mudham ranya kshuditasya yataitare.
O Brahmanas, the opulence of the king was so enchanting that the denizens of heaven aspired for it, but because he was absorbed in the service of the Lord, nothing could satisfy him except the Lord's service. So even the denizens of heaven, they wanted what Yudhishthira had. But because Yudhishthira himself was absorbed in the service of the Lord, he was only satisfied by his service. He didn't care, oh, I have so much. There are two things in the world which can satisfy living beings. When one is materially engrossed, he is satisfied only by sense gratification. When one is liberated from the conditions of material modes, he is satisfied only by rendering loving service. So Prabhupada is saying there is no middle ground. Either you are on this side or you are on that side. When you are materially engrossed, sense gratification will satisfy you. When one is liberated, rendering loving service is satisfied. And when somebody is confused like me, no satisfaction. The living being is constitutionally a servitor and no one, and not one who is served. So we are all servitors. We have to serve. But because we are illusioned by the conditions of material energy or external energy, we think we are to be served. And when one is in proper senses, by attainment of spiritual knowledge, he realizes that he is not the master of the material world, but only a servant of the senses. How many times Prabhupada has said this? Throughout, right? Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, throughout. When we are in the proper senses by attainment of spiritual knowledge, we realize that we are not the master, but only a servant of the senses. And once we come to that, you know, initial realization, we beg for the service of the Lord. And we become happy without being illusioned by the so-called material happiness. Maharaj Yudhishthira was one of such liberated souls. And for him, there was no pleasure in the vast kingdom, good wife, obedient brothers, happy subjects and prosperous world. These blessings automatically follow a pure devotee. So that happened to Prabhupada. He has 10,000 disciples and all these temples. His name is glorious all over the world. Because these blessings automatically happen for a pure devotee. The example set herein is exactly suitable. It is said that one who is hungry is never satisfied by anything other than food. The whole material world is full of hungry living beings. The hunger is not for good food, shelter, or sense gratification, as politicians will make you believe. The hunger is for spiritual atmosphere. Due to ignorance only, they think that the world is dissatisfied because there is not sufficient food, shelter, defense, or objects of sense gratification. So there is actually more food than we can eat in the world. But there is some amount of hoarding of food. And this is called illusion. So Prabhupada again says, what is Maya? Is the ignorance that we think the world is dissatisfied because there is not sufficient material things. When the living being is hungry for spiritual satisfaction, he is misrepresented by material hunger. So we are all hungry for something. Like George Harrison says in his song, all you need is love. Have you heard the song? Love is all you need, he concludes. That's the song. So he basically says everything is love, that you are, you know, that spiritual hunger that you want, but we misrepresent by material hunger. And they themselves did it. They went through drugs and this and that. The foolish leader cannot see that even the people who are most sumptuously materially satisfied are still hungry. You have any examples for that? All these famous Hollywood, Bollywood, Tollywood, Dollywood stars, they're all hungry. They just don't know where to go. And Prabhupada asks the question, what is their hunger and poverty? The hunger is actually for spiritual food, spiritual shelter, spiritual defense, and spiritual sense gratification. So it's not saying sense gratification is bad. It has to be spiritual sense gratification. And how do you obtain them? In the association of the Supreme Spirit, Lord Sri Krishna. One who has them cannot be attracted by so-called food, shelter, defense, and sense gratification, even if they are relished by denizens of heavenly planets. So those two brothers in Mayapur, the pujaris, Pankajangrivo, right? They had everything in America. For the last 30 years, they're just doing aarti for England or whatever, yeah, from the Western world. They're just doing aarti and they're so happy. Now they are on several GBC committees, I think. In Bhagavad Gita 8.16, it is said by the Lord that even in the topmost planet of the universe named Brahmaloka, where the duration of life is multiplied by millions of years by earthly calculation, one cannot satisfy hunger. So he's saying, you know, you go to heaven or Maharloka, you will still not satisfy this hunger. That's a very powerful statement only a Mahabhagavat can say. Such hunger can be satisfied only when the living being is situated in immortality, which is attained in the spiritual sky far, far above the Brahmaloka. And how do you do that? In the association of Lord Mukunda, the Lord who awards his devotees the transcendental pleasure of liberation. He doesn't talk about normal liberation, see, transcendental pleasure in liberation. So not the Sayuja, Salokya, Sarupya, Saristi, Samipya, doesn't talk about any of these. Transcendental pleasure of liberation.
Mathur garbha gato vira satadha bhrugunandana dadarsha purusham kanchit dhamyostha tejasa.
O son of Bhrugu, Shaunaka, when the child Parikshit, the great fighter, was in the womb of his mother Uttara and was suffering from the burning heat of Brahmastra thrown by Ashwatthama, he could observe the Supreme Lord coming to him. It's a great way to start a purport. Death generally involves remaining a trance for 7 months. The Prabhupada is saying you'll die, you'll go be in a trance for 7 months. And after that, a living being, according to his own action, is allowed to enter into womb of a mother by vehicle of father's semina, and thus he developed his desired body. So Radhakrishna Prabhu, when he was here, he was talking about how the soul goes through the rain, falls into the ground, goes into a seed, eaten by the father, generates the semen, goes into the mother's womb. This is the law of the birth in specific bodies according to one's past actions. When he is awake from trance, he feels the inconvenience of being confined within the womb. So the baby starts moving in the womb. And thus he wants to come out of it. And sometimes, fortunately, prays to the Lord for such liberation. So, it's a very key point, which means that when we are in the womb, we actually know of Krishna. We forget about Krishna after we come out. Maharaj Parikshit, while in the womb of his mother, was struck by the Brahmastra released by Ashwatthama, and he was feeling burning heat. What was he feeling, Sri Lakshmi? But because he was a devotee of the Lord, the Lord at once appeared himself within the womb. He won't appear for everyone because he was a devotee of the Lord. And the child could see that someone else had come to save him. So it means that in the womb, the child is very sentient. It knows, it can see, feel, all these things. And Obama signed into law late stage abortion, saying that the child doesn't have so much feeling or anything like that. The child can see. Even in that helpless condition, the child Parikshit endured the unbearable temperature due to his being a great fighter. So he's a Kshatriya by nature. And therefore he's called Veera.
Angustamatram amalam spurat purata maulinam apivya darshanam syamam tadidvasasam achutam.
Amalam means without any mal, without any bad qualities. He, the Lord, was only thumb high, but he was all transcendental. Do you know anywhere else this thumb high was mentioned? In the Purana Shastras? Ishopanishad? Okay. I was listening to one of the lecture. I was doing some research, little bit on research, and then I was listening to one lecture. So one of I think Jayapatak Maharaj's disciple or Tamal Krishna Maharaj's disciple was mentioning that one of the Agatsya Muni or somebody also sees something like that. He just made a passing reference, the Lord in that form. So that's how we know that Paramatma is thumb high. Right? This place and the other place. That's how we know that Paramatma is thumb high. The Lord was only thumb high, but he was all transcendental. He has a very beautiful blackish infallible body. And he wore a dress of lightning yellow and a helmet of blazing gold. Thus he was seen by the child.
Srimadhirga chaturbahum tapta kanchana kundalam shata jaksham gadapanim atmana sarvato disham paribramantam ulkabham brahmyantam gadam muhu.
This is a beautiful description of the Lord. The Lord was enriched with four hands, earrings of molten gold, eyes blood red with fury. As he loitered about, his club constantly encircled him like a shooting star. So he came with fury, encircling the club. It is said in the Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, that the Supreme Lord Govinda, by his one plenary portion, enters into the halo of universe and distributes himself as Paramatma. Which verse, Prabhu? Okay. Not only within the heart of every living being, but also within every atom, Andantarastra Paramanu Chayantarastam, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Thus, the Lord is all-pervading by His inconceivable potency, and thus He entered into the womb of Uttara to save His beloved devotee, Maharaj Parikshit. So, the Lord is there in every atom of the material elements. Thus, the Lord is all-pervading by His inconceivable potency, and He entered into the womb. In Bhagavad Gita 9.31, the Lord assured everyone that His devotees are never to be vanquished. Again, a very powerful statement. No one can kill a devotee of the Lord because he is protected by the Lord, and no one can save a person whom the Lord desires to kill. Rake Krishna mare ki, mare Krishna rake ki. The Lord is all powerful, and therefore he can save, he can both save and kill as he likes. He became visible to his devotee, Maharaj Parikshit, even in that awkward position. Awkward position means the body is like, the legs are turned here, hands are turned here. In that position, he could see the Lord. The Lord can become bigger than thousands of universes, and he can become smaller than an atom at the same time. Merciful as he is, he becomes just suitable to the vision of the limited living being. So our vision is very limited. We are limited, our vision is limited. But because of his mercy, he becomes suitable to the vision. So even though he may be bigger than millions of universes, he'll just come. And he did that to Dhruva Maharaj. He is unlimited. He is not limited by any measurement of our calculation. These last two sentences are especially aimed at engineers. He can become bigger than what we can think of. He can become smaller than what we can conceive. But in all circumstances, He is the same all-powerful Lord. And next powerful statement comes. There is no difference between the thumb-like Vishnu in the womb of Uttara and the full-fledged Narayana in the Vaikuntha Dham, the kingdom of Godhead. By the mercy of the Archavigraha, the form of the Lord in material elements, the devotees who are in the material world can easily approach the Lord, because we cannot see the Lord, and the Lord doesn't manifest to everybody unless you are a pure devotee. He comes in the form of Archavigraha. Radha Nilamadav ki jai, Radha Kalachand ki jai. With your blessing, I am going to see Radha Kalachand on Monday. I am going to Dallas. So, by the mercy of the Archavigraha, the form of the Lord in the material elements, the devotees who are in the material world can easily approach the Lord. The Archavigraha is therefore an all spiritual form of the Lord to be pursued by material devotees. Such an Archavigraha of the Lord is never to be considered material. For the Lord, there is nothing but spiritual existence. Similarly, there is nothing except spiritual existence for the pure devotee of the Lord in his intimate relation with the Lord. So recently I was hearing a lecture where he said, is this material world material? It's part of the spiritual world. We are in the Mahatattva cloud, which is in the spiritual world. So the material world is also spiritual. We view it as material, that's why we are still here.
Astra teja swagadaya niharam iva gopati vitam tam sannakrase parashyate
asau. The Lord was thus engaged in vanquishing the radiation of Brahmastra. Just as sun evaporates a drop of dew, He was observed by the child who thought about who He was. Sun evaporating a drop of dew. How much effort does it take? The same way. Brahmastra is like that for the Lord.
Viduya tad ameyatma bhagavan dharma gub vibhu misato dasamasaya tatraivatardadai hari.
Being observed by the child, the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul of everyone, and the Protector of the righteous, who stretches in all directions, and who is unlimited by time and space, disappeared at once. The Lord does this several times. He does this to Narada Muni. He does this to Dhruva Maharaj. Because Lord is not to be just seen, but to be served. This is what Radhakrishna Prabhu said, right, recently. Seeing is not so important. Seeing, you'll only come once and you'll go away. But the rest of your life, you are serving Him. Of course, you know, for somebody like me, seeing may not be possible ever, but at least serving is possible. Gauranga Prabhu once said, what is the one thing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives you? The right to serve. So that you can serve the Lord. He doesn't give you anything else. So that you can serve the Lord continually. That's His mission. So that He is giving you service of the Lord. Child Parikshit was not observing a living being who is limited by time and space. There is a gulf of difference between Lord and the individual living being. The Lord is mentioned as the Supreme Being unlimited by time and space. Even though a living being is qualitatively one with the Lord, quantitatively there is a great difference between the Supreme Soul and the common individual soul. This is again aimed at Mayavadis who think that they someday can become something that they are not. In the Bhagavad Gita, both the living being and the Supreme Being are said to be all pervading. Yet there is a difference. So our pervasiveness is different than the Lord's pervasiveness. A common living being cannot extend its influence over another common living being. So do I have influence over Madhav Gauranga Prabhu? Only a very, very limited sense I have over myself. A common living being cannot extend its influence over another common living being by its all pervasiveness. But the Supreme Super Soul, the personality of Godhead, is unlimitedly able to exert his influence over all places, at all times, over all living beings. And then finally, he reiterates the point that the king is a protector of the righteous, and therefore the Lord protected him. Anyone who is a surrendered soul unto the Supreme is righteous. Great transition. He says, king is righteous, the Lord protects the righteous, and says, anybody who is surrendered is also righteous. So what is the definition? By conclusion, he says, the Lord protects the righteous. Anybody who that may be, he may be. And he is specifically protected by the Lord in all circumstances. And also, the Lord is mentioned herein as one who is dressed in 10 directions. Dasha Disha. So that means he's dressed with garments on 10 sides up and down. Can you imagine 10 sides? We cannot, but there are 10 sides. He's present everywhere and can appear and disappear at his will from everywhere and anywhere. So all this, he's reinforcing the point that the Lord as Paramatma is there in every atom. He appeared to protect Lord Parikshit, and it is not inconceivable. It is possible for the Lord. He was present there, and even after his disappearance, he was still there. Because he was there. Annantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. And even after his disappearance, he was there, although invisible to the eyes of the child. And then more description. This material covering of the effulgent firmament is also something like a womb of Mother Nature. So we are also in this womb of Mother Nature. And we are all put into the womb by the Lord, the Father of all living beings. And he's also there in the womb of Mother Durga, specifically targeting material world where we are. And those who are deserving can see the Lord at least once. So Maharaj Parikshit punishing or trying to punish Kali, and finally he is giving Kali places in the four sinful locations and in gold. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai.